Morning. What an honor it is to be here to present God's word today. I'd like to first and foremost get this out of the way. This message is dedicated to Brad Bagans, my friend, my brother. You have to get that out of the way. Coming soon to a theater near you will be a YouTube Bible show featuring Brad, myself, and some of the brothers, Danny, battling out with Bagans. His first three guests will be Benny Hinn, Joyce Myers, and Frank Turner. So be there, because it will be a good thing. My message today is very interesting. It's something I've been intrigued with for a long, long time. It really caught my attention as a young kid, and I really wanted to look into this, and I finally had a chance to give a message. It's called End Times, Are You Saved? Has anybody heard of a CEO? Does anybody know what a CEO is? Know what it means? You can say it. Chief Executive Officer. Amen. That's what a CEO is. He's in charge of a company. some good CEOs out there that you might be able to relate with would be like Warren Buffett from Berkshire Hathaway, Sam Walton of Walmart, or maybe Bill Gates of Microsoft. These are all CEOs of companies. Some bad CEOs of some companies would maybe be somebody like Kenneth Lay from Enron, if anybody remember him. He ran a wicked company, and I believe he passed away, robbing people of millions of dollars. Jimmy Cain of Bear Stearns. Dick Foltz of the Lehman Brothers. These people all faced legal problems and corruptness. All these men face criminal actions to what they did, similar to what the Antichrist will be doing when he arrives on the scene. What is that going to be like? Fraud, deceit, theft. The Antichrist is Satan's CEO, Chief Executive Officer. That is Satan's CEO. And he carries out every command from Satan, who empowers him to do so. Satan gives the Antichrist the power to control everything down here when he arrives. He's described in 2 Thessalonians as the man of sin, the son of perdition, and other titles like the first beast of Revelation, or in Daniel, the little horn, or in Matthew, the abomination. That's how bad the description of the Antichrist is. Now, in the book of Daniel, God gave Daniel a vision of the Antichrist. This is hard to kind of understand, but Daniel was chosen by God to interpret dreams, and he's a prophet of God. And he's given him this interpretation of the Antichrist at the end time. And the dream which was communicated to him was so important, he sent the angel Gabriel to interpret the dream to Daniel. Now, how unbelievable is that, to have one of God's angels actually come and pay you a visit to help you discern what he wants you to understand? And when Daniel finally understood the meaning of the dream, he fainted and was sick for days. Daniel 8:27. That's pretty powerful, wouldn't you say so? To know what this dream's about, to know what the end times are about. He was so, the dream, it was so bad for him that he fainted and was sick for days. It's like watching television or watching the news. I mean, doesn't it make you sick to watch what's going on today out there in the world? It just makes you sick to your stomach. It's probably the same thing. In Daniel 8, 23 through 26, now listen to these words in Daniel as things that come. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. Where does he get all this power? From the devil. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people through his cunning. He shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. Now that's an interesting word, isn't it, that we just read there, exalt. Does the word exalt pop up in anybody's mind out there what that word means? Exalt. Isaiah 14, 12 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut to the ground. You are weak in the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." So we're seeing a connection here between the Antichrist and Satan. Look at that word, exalt. He wants to do what he already had in the beginning of his heart. He wants to do here on earth with this man of sin. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princesses. But he shall be broken without human means, and the vision of the evenings and mornings which was told was true. See, Daniel's dream was about the coming of the Antichrist. Antichrist means against or instead of. He's against Christ, and he tries to put himself in place of Christ. He's thought that way from the beginning. In the tribulation, the Antichrist will try to be a substitute for Christ. That's exactly what's going to happen in the tribulation. There are four times in the Bible the word Antichrist is mentioned. Every generation thinks they know who the Antichrist is. John says the spirit of the Antichrist is already among you. The spirit of the Antichrist is already amongst us as we speak. That's pretty scary. Paul says the same thing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we look at verse 7, he says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." The Antichrist is coming, but the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We see that all around us as we see today. There are over 25 titles in the Bible that are given to the Antichrist. It's a picture of the most wicked, vilest man to ever walk the planet Earth. Some people think he's Satan incarnate, but he's not. But we know Satan gives him the power to do all these things. John Phillips is a great, I don't know if anybody's heard of John Phillips. I don't know, Brad, if you have or not. He gave a great commentary of this man of sin to come. Listen to what he says about this guy, and it describes him to the T. The Antichrist will be an attractive and charismatic figure, a genius, a demon-controlled, devil-taught charmer of men. He will have answers for the problems of mankind. He will be all things to all men. A political statesman, a social lion, a financial wizard, an intellectual giant, a religious wizard, a religious deceiver, Satan's masterpiece of deception. The masses will follow him as the world's savior and God. That's pretty scary. When the subject of the Antichrist is mentioned, there are a lot of questions. People want to know, who is he? Is he here now? Is he alive on earth today? Does he have to be born in Europe? Or is he a Jew or a Gentile? When will he be revealed? In 2 Thessalonians, Paul answers some of these questions. These are very interesting questions. Paul says there are certain things that have to happen before the Antichrist is revealed. Notice he didn't say he was born. He says to be revealed. The Antichrist could be alive right now. Nobody knows. Paul gives us three passages that we can look into. One is he cannot be revealed until after the rapture of the church. Let's get that straight right now. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you won't be left behind. We will be taken out of here before all hell breaks loose on earth. Some may agree with what I just said or not agree or think differently on the tribulations or what happens, but he's very clear in his word that we are going to be taken out of here and we will be spared a horrific sight that is going to be taking place when the Lord Jesus comes back here. Look at Thessalonians 2, 1 through 4. He wrote to the churches, he says, he was writing to straighten out issues to these people of Thessalonica. He's trying to teach them because they already thought that the rapture occurred. Paul wrote the church of Thessalonica to straighten out issues and some problems concerning what has been going on. False teachings. The believers were going through difficult days back then, suffering tremendously. But Paul here in verse 4 commends them and he tries to encourage them. Then he refers to the day of the Lord. Paul is talking about the seven-year tribulation. That is what the day of the Lord is about, that he wants them to know. That while they are going through tough times, it isn't the tribulation yet. Some people think we are in the tribulation right now. No. Our problems are nothing. They're Mickey Mouse problems compared to what it's going to be like in the tribulation. They don't even qualify. The believers in Thessalonica came under false teachings. Because of their persecution, they thought they were living in the tribulation and that they had missed the rapture. Not true. And according to verse 2, the false teaching came to them by one of three ways from what the Bible says. Either by a demonic spirit, word, by word, or by a letter. See, and Paul corrects them that they were thinking that they were left behind. In the first letter, he already told them about the Lord returning. And that they are being lied to, saying that they missed the rapture and it's too late. Excuse me, I got a cold, so I'm just kind of battling that a little bit, but feeling a little better. Now, Paul begins here in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1. He writes, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." What a beautiful word, gathering together. All of the brothers and sisters are going to be gathering with the Lord. What a great description of the rapture right there. Remember, the Antichrist can't come until the rapture happens. Nobody will know who he is until after we are gone. If you think you know who the Antichrist is, then you've been left behind. No one deceive you by any means, for in that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. If you got your Bibles open, open up to 2 Thessalonians. And we'll read this. I'm going to take us there in a minute. Excuse me, hang on one second. What is the falling away? Paul says forsaking on the part of professing believers of the truth. That's what the falling away is. A lot of people will be falling away from the truth in that time. Before the Antichrist could be known, the rapture will have taken place and the falling away will have taken place first. It is the walking away from the things people once believed. And there's many, many scriptures on that that match up with that. It is a departure from the truth. Jesus talked about the falling away in Matthew 24:10. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 24:10. It says, "And many will be offended. Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many of false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." You notice the time. You notice Jesus uses the word many three times. It is mentioned right there. Three times. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, knowing the truth and walking away. That's what's going to happen in the last days. Well, we see it now. The abortions, the gay marriages, the television, what's on the radio, what we see, who we hang around. You see the coldness of people's attitudes and their actions towards one another. I mean, there's no better or bigger description of the last days I can ever see, because Jesus talks about that all over the place. If it's bad now, can you picture what it's going to be like 20 years, 20 short years from now? If it's this bad as we speak right now? The Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter, scoffers will come in the last days. You know what scoffers are? They're making fun of prophecy. Nah, yeah, right. Rapture, Jesus opening the sky up, coming back. Graves opening up, yeah, right. That's a joke. That's real funny. I've met so many Christians out there that want to pick and choose what they want to take from the Bible. It's like a smorgasbord. Well, I'll take the book of Matthew, but I won't take the book of Revelation. Well, I'll take the book of Peter, but I won't take the book of Daniel. I don't believe that. I definitely won't take the book of Thessalonians. Well, you know what? You're not a believer at all, because you're either going to be one way or the other way. You're going to believe every word the Bible teaches from God's. You know what? Psalm says. You know what God's word is? Can anybody say that word? Can anybody say that? There's one word. Danny, you know that. There's one word about the Bible, about God's word. What is it? Nope. Come on. I'm not gonna go on. I'm not gonna go on until somebody says it. And it's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful word. Come on. Somebody say that. It starts with a. No. It's one word. It's got four letters to it. One letter. Who said that? Right there. Right there. Battling out with Bagans wins again on that one. Pure. God's word is pure. As we see, the scoffers, well, look it back in Noah's time. While he's busy building this ark of the great flood, they were sitting there laughing, partying, marriage, given in marriage, and scoffing at him for many, many years, until the day when every animal and creature entered the ark, and seven people entered the ark, until Noah pulled that drawbridge door and clamped it shut like this. And as soon as that happened, it's funny, then the mists, they started walking around, and the next thing you know, there was mists, little raindrops coming down upon them, and they didn't know what to take of that. That was just the beginning of a horrific sight. That's funny. God is not mocked at all. Scoffers, yes. Yeah, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their what? Their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where's it at? Where's it at? It ain't by our timetable. But you know what? God gives us all these signs. Everything that's going on today is matching what the Bible talks about. I mean, it's really not hard to understand unless you're not in the Word of God. It's easy to match up what's going on. You just see what's going on. The promise, where's the promise coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Before Jesus comes back, people will make fun of prophecy. And we see that with the Bill Maher's out there and all these atheists that just massacre the Word of God and want nothing to do with the truth. They're scoffing. You don't believe that stuff, then it won't happen. They did that to Noah back in that day. People nowadays, they're not going to church anymore. The falling away has already started. There's a growing resistance to biblical truth. There's a growing resistance to biblical truth. It says in 2 Timothy, but evil men are imposters, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. as a believer, you know, that word deception or being deceived, that's a heavy-duty word. Deceiving, you're being deceived. You're being told a lie. We see all these things happening. Gay marriages, abortions, lawlessness. If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy. You want to see a description of what's going on today, we're going to read this one. 2 Timothy 3. Look at this one. I love this. This talks more about the truth than I've ever seen in my life. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Isn't that what is going on today? All about me and my job and my money and the millions of dollars I'm making, whether it be music, acting, sports. It's all mine. They're lovers of, look at this, lovers of money. They love it. They love it, man. They're millionaires. Hey, they're living high on the hog, no doubt about that. They don't need God. They don't need nothing. They don't need nothing. They got multi-millions, not just... Some people that are poor can barely scrape together two nickels to buy a loaf of bread, but these people have got nothing but money, mansions, they're secure, they're happy, they love it, they love money. Boasters, they like to boast about what they got, yep. Look at my nice car, look at my nice house, look at my nice clothes, look at my nice things in my house, look at my nice piano, look at my nice furniture. Pride. Well, right there, proud. They're proud. They're proud of what they've accomplished. You know what? It's all at the end of the day. What was I thinking about just the other day? Oh, one of the sports guys, baseball or football, signed a mega contract, and they're set for what? Life. These mega contracts that these sports athletes sign are $250 million. I mean, really. Oh, no. It was a country star on television. I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but the guy from one of the American Idols, country guy, tall guy. Does anybody know his name? Nope. Keep going. He's on The Voice. He's on The Voice. He's real tall. Blake Shelton, right? Is it Blake Shelton? Yep. Well, you know, you're seeing these people prosper on the television, and you're seeing how much money they're making, but really, at the end of the day, what does it really matter? What, are you going to enjoy it for, what, so many years that you have down here? God says to number our days, not our years. I mean, how much time do you really have to enjoy it? Because you're going to die. I mean, you're totally blanking out. You're totally putting it off. You're totally... Not dealing with eternity. You're not going to funerals. You know why people don't go to funerals? Because they don't want to face it. They don't want to face death. They don't want to look it in the face for what it really is, for what sin really is. They think they're just going to live to 150 years old and they'll just disappear. That ain't the case. Disobedient to parents, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy. Yeah, everybody's unthankful nowadays. Nobody appreciates nothing that others do. The only people that care about others are Christians, from what I've seen. Unloving, unforgiving. You get in a fight, you don't talk to them for forever, they don't forgive. Totally true. Slanderers, without self-control. They don't got no self-control. Brutal, despisers of what is good. Today, being good is considered evil, and evil is considered being good. You do rotten stuff out there, you wreck somebody, and they salute you. You do good, you try to help somebody out, and you do them a favor, you're looked at as a big flake. Look at the rest of it. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Isn't that amazing? We see it all day long with these entertainment people in Hollywood, right? Having fun and luxury and just loving the pleasure of life, the pride of life. having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So that's being spoken to the Christian. They turn away. Think about this in 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 through 7. The Holy Spirit will be removed from the earth. And you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now is restrained will do so until he is taken out of the way. Who is the restrainer? The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. The Holy Spirit lives within each and every believer. And if you are a Christian, you already have the Holy Spirit in you. John 16. Let's read that one. John 16. If you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. I'll read 7 through 9. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper," who's the Helper? Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob. "Will not come to you. If I depart, I will send him to you." So when Jesus left the earth, he sent his Holy Spirit down. "And when he has come, he will convict the world of what?" Yep, sin. That's right, Bob. Let me see. "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." You know, it's bad now, but can you imagine when the rapture does happen and we're all be gone? And you say, won't people be saved in the tribulation? Yes, people who have heard of Christ can get saved. When that's out of the way, Satan will have full power on this earth when the Antichrist does come back. So after the rapture of the church, let's review. After the rejection of the truth and after the removal of the Holy Spirit, then the man of sin will be revealed. What will the Antichrist be like? I can't tell you what he'll be like. He will be, but what the word says, it says he'll be a dynamic leader. Daniel 7:8 says a mouth speaking pompous words against the Most High. You got an evil guy that's going all out. This is an all-out thing that's going to be happening down here. John spoke of him in Revelation 13:5 says, "And he was given a mouth speaking great and blasphemies, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion." You know how a lion's mouth is, how big his roar is? He will be an incredible speaker, captivating audiences nationwide. He will have a spell over them. In Daniel 11:37 says, he says, "He shall exalt himself above them all, saying he is God." This is how powerful this guy is. 2 Thessalonians says again, "The son of perdition who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I cannot believe these words that I'm reading. Satan is going to put the Antichrist in the temple of God, saying he is God. Oh, man. I've never heard of more blasphemous words in my life. Revelation 13:8 says, "All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the beginning of the foundation of the world. He will be deceitful with all power, signs, and lying wonders. The Antichrist will convince people into believing the lie. Those who have heard the gospel and rejected it will be sent a deception that they will be so strong that they will not be able to believe the truth, even if they wanted to. Now, let's try to understand what's going on here. The people that are raptured out of here that have accepted the Lord and Savior as Jesus will not be here. Now, the people that have never heard the gospel can get saved. But the people that have went to church all these years and have heard the gospel and rejected it, people think that they get another chance. No, they don't. No, they don't. And we are going to read what God says about the people that have scoffed and have rejected his word, has heard the truth, but rejected the truth. And we're going to read it right here. These are Paul's words to the Thessalonian believers. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. Okay? Let me try to diagram that. Let me see. Receive the love of the truth. Okay, here's the Bible. God says, you're like, Steve, do you receive the love of the truth that you're a sinner and you need my son to be saved? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I receive it. I believe that I'm a sinner. I receive your word, Lord. Okay, let's go to the next one. Because they did not, with all unrighteous deception among those who perished because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So there's going to be some people out there that are presenting the gospel. They say to God, they push the Bible back to them. Nope, no thank you. That's all. You got one of two ways of looking at that. They did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved for this reason. Look at this. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So now, you've insulted God so bad that you've accepted the lie that he said you should believe the lie who did not believe the truth, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Will there be any chance people will be saved after the rapture? Again, yes. The ones that have never heard the gospel. People who have never heard the gospel, many will be saved. But what about those who have heard the gospel in this age of grace and rejected it? Will they be given another chance to be saved during the tribulation? The answer is no. You know, and what I feel sorry about the people that come to the Lord the second time around that has never heard the gospel, what it's going to be like in those days, you're going to have a mark either on your hand or your forehead. Let me give you an example. Excuse me. See this credit card? See that credit card? Picture it being inserted in your hand like that. See that? You can't buy, sell, eat without it. Everywhere you go in the supermarket, you see my hand. They're going to take a little wand and press it again. Yep, John Jones, Jim Jones or whatever, you have the mark. Or your forehead right here. It'll be inserted in your head. Well, I'll scan your head. Yep. You could buy and sell. People don't have that. They're going to be in deep trouble because without that, you cannot live. And the masses will be following that thing. The born-again believers will have to either be fed by Christians or whatever, but they cannot take the mark of the beast. They cannot do that. You'd rather die starving than take the mark of the beast. God's very clear on that. He's very clear on that. You take that mark, you go to hell for eternity. So don't play games with eternity. Now is the time to get saved, right now. That you will not believe the truth, that you will believe the lie. Antichrist will be defeated. Here's the beauty of this whole thing right here, is he has but a short time. Satan has but a short time down here. The Antichrist will be defeated, and by the death, and how is he going to be defeated? It says the Lord Jesus by the breath of his mouth destroys the Antichrist and his army. And the Antichrist and the false prophets will be what? Cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Look at Daniel 7. If you got your Bibles, I'm going to swing over to Daniel 7 real quick. Okay, Daniel 7:11 says, I watched then because of the sounds of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Revelation 19:20. This is where it says it too about him. 19, we're going to go to 20. 19:20 says, then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Alive. This is a horrific sight for these people. The Antichrist will have his run for 7 years, but then he's going to meet his judgment. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Bible says he will be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever along with the false prophet. Let us always remember something. God is in control. We will reign with Christ for eternity. Remember, the Antichrist has his short time in his moment, but that is all. That is all he has. What is important is to know all this stuff, and these people nowadays that walk around with unbelief, when we pass tracts out or share the word, it's very important, because when somebody would look at a tract or come to the knowledge of Christ to be saved, that they make a decision either to throw the tract away or to look into what God's word says about being saved and the end times. And it's important as a Christian to be focused, be in the Word, be encouraging to one another every day. Be at church, read your Bible, and be focused and be aware on what's going on at all times, because the devil comes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. No doubt about it. So in these end times, and I totally believe that these are end times, that we need to be focused and ready for what's to come. Because Jesus Christ could come at any time, any given time. Come now, he can come next week. As we see what's going on in this world today, it would not surprise me one bit if he were to come back. It ain't getting better, it's getting worse and worse. And it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. It ain't going to get better. Just praise the Lord that we have Jesus. Praise the Lord we have his Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord that we have the Bible to teach us and to live by. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for being able to look into this wicked Antichrist that's to come on the earth. And we thank you that we will be raptured out of here as believers. That we won't have to see this horrific situation that's going to take place down here, Lord. We give you all the glory and honor, and Lord, we thank you. Let us be an encouragement to witness to others down here, Lord, as much as we can, because we never know when you're going to come back, Lord. And let us be ready. Let us be ready, Lord, when you do come back, that we will be prepared, not doing something silly or not being in the Word or living correctly. We thank and praise you, Lord, for all you do for us. We thank you for this day. We want to lift up Pablo for tonight, Lord. There's going to be a lot of people coming in tonight, Lord. We pray that if just one person gets led to the Lord and be saved, hallelujah. Lord, that is the blessing. We pray for some good fellowship, Lord. We thank you now. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brett, I try to close you off. What do you think of that, Brett?
Great.
I mean, that's what it is, man.
That's what he said, yeah. The world's getting
It is.
They love it.
They're
excited.
Oh, they are. Oh, they are. And you always see it.
It's